Welcome to Think Like a Dog podcast, where we explore dog behavior and psychology-based training to help your dog achieve their full potential.
Well, how are you? It's nice to kind of meet you.
Yeah, it's great to meet you too. I'm good.
We're dealing with some dog reactivity, right? Yes. Okay, and that's something it sounds like we've been dealing, you said a couple years now, right?
Yeah. He used to be a lot worse, but I also brought him in environments that probably weren't the best for him, like dog parks.
Okay.
So now we don't go to dog parks and we do a lot of other positive reinforcement stuff. So it's gotten a lot better, but it's definitely still there.
Okay. I don't know what just happened. Okay. This started a couple years ago. We got better. And you're able to put him around dogs that he knows well, and you slowly introduce him to new dogs, but you are still struggling on the walk. Is that your main issue?
Yeah, outside of our apartment, mostly, yeah.
Okay, talk to me about that. Go ahead.
Oh, no, sorry, go ahead. What were you gonna ask?
No, I mean, is it like, it's not every dog, right? It's only intact dogs?
Yeah, so it's definitely not most dogs at all.
Oh, great, selective. Okay.
Yeah. We do like loose leash walking like pretty well most of the time, but yeah,
awesome.
There's either dogs I know are intact that he reacts to specifically that live in our building that I know about, and or on walks dogs that I don't know if they're intact or not, that he reacts to. So I'm assuming they might be.
Okay.
Cause that's kind of the one consistent thing. But yeah, those are the times like that he'll lunge and bark.
Okay.
And it's harder to control.
How often is that happening, would you say? Like, I guess, how often do you pass those a dog that he would react to?
Pretty much every day.
Okay.
If we get like lucky, sometimes we don't pass any dog on a walk.
Okay. Okay. So if you pass another, but there are still dogs that you'll pass by and he won't react to.
Exactly.
Yes. Okay. So it's like hit or miss. You could pass, you know, 10 dogs, but there's that one that he's going to react to.
Exactly.
Is it most of the time the same dogs? Or how often is it like a new dog?
It'll be a new dog every once in a while. And it seems like he'll like remember those dogs. So sometimes there's dogs like I know that we pass a lot that we'll just try and avoid. But then, yeah, sometimes there'll be a new dog. And I won't know if we pass them again. Maybe we do in a few days and he reacts again.
Golly, I mean, yeah. I luckily have never had to live in an apartment with a dog. Oh my gosh. It sounds like we do a lot of sessions at apartment complexes and talk to a lot of people. But I mean, it's like the deepest layer of hell for a reactive dog to live in an apartment complex. Cause it's like, I know you already said in here, like the elevator, right?
Yep.
On top of like, there's so many blind corners that like, as you're coming down the stairs, you could have it. Oh my Lord. Okay. Well, talk to me about what you did to get cause it used to be worse. Right. And then now we're seeing progress. What did we work on? How did we get here?
Yeah. I'd say the biggest thing is like high value treats outside of the house on walks. That's huge. And definitely I've consistently like, I've always been the most consistent with it, but when I've been consistent, it like shows.
Okay.
I can, if we're doing it every walk, kind of every few steps or something, and we sometimes will pass again a dog that I know he's going to react to, and I can kind of hand him the treats before he sees the dog and keep him moving along. Sometimes he still stops taking the treats and is like, got to deal with this. But that's been like huge. So that'll get us like most of the way. And that also just stopped him, I think, from reacting in general. He was just, I think, reacting almost everything for a while. And so that definitely helped with that. And then the other thing I'd say is like, just making sure that I'm listening to like his cues on a walk. Like if he seems scared or something, we like pull to the side, check in. Like that's also when I'm giving him those treats, but just paying attention more to like his body language. I think at first, because he was reacting to everything, I didn't know it was different. It seemed like his regular like personality, but now I can kind of tell when he senses something that he might react to.
Okay. Did you see a different, like another trainer that like worked you through these things, or did you just sort of do these on your own?
No, I worked with a trainer that like focused on reactivity as opposed to like, just the regular. We were just doing like 101, 102 classes, which were really helpful just for like regular behavior modification. But yeah, that kind of helped talking about his specific behaviors.
Okay, perfect. Is he intact or he's neutered?
He's neutered.
Okay, okay. I know at one point in this, you said that you have sometimes picked him up. Which I am impressed with because he does not look like a small dog.
He's not the smallest. He's about 40 pounds. He will let me like scoop him under his belly.
Okay. Okay. So he doesn't.
Like, worst case scenario, if we're in close quarters or something and I have to.
Okay. It. That's is that like elevator stuff? Yeah. Like, okay. Elevator
stuff or like, you know, we're around, we pull around a corner and the dog's right there and I have no choice. Okay. But to like kind of grab him. Yeah.
Okay. Would you say, obviously we're going to get into, because you've listened to the podcast, right? Yeah. So you know what the questions I'm going to ask. Yeah. Would you say, like, what does your walk look like if there aren't any other dogs? Like, would you say he's connected to you? Or would you say he's still maybe scanning? Or what does that look like without other dogs?
Yeah. He really, really enjoys sniffing. So for the most of his walk, he's sniffing. And I'm letting him lead where we sniff. And then we usually have like two or three different routes that we'll take. And so also he kind of knows where to turn for those. So I also kind of let him pick that depending on how he's kind of feeling. And then, yeah, if there's no distractions, he does pretty well walking loosely. And then the other thing I've noticed when there isn't a lot of stress is he will check in for like, look back to me to check in for the treat or like where to go next. So I do feel pretty connected when there's nothing else, which is not that common, but yeah.
Right. Well, cause what, you're in DC, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. There's, I lived in DC for a year. There's never nothing there.
I know. Exactly.
Yeah. Okay. I mean, you, like I said, you've listened, so you know, I am not against using treats by any means. I think using food where it's helpful to you. Great. I think the problem that I have with using food, I think in this case, is that it's acting as a band-aid, right? Mm-hmm. So he's not connected to you. He's connected to the food, right? And I want to sort of get to the root of this, of what is causing him to feel like it's within his rights or necessary or acceptable or encouraged to pop off at other dogs. Right. That's like, I mean, I look at this as if I am walking, I don't know, in DC with my husband, let's say. Right. And yeah, we passed by 10 other dudes and he was fine. But one guy looked at me and he ran over to them and tried to punch him in the face. Like that's still, you know what I mean? Like that's probably says something about our relationship right there. So I want him to be connected to you because he knows that you are the one that has the majority of the information, right? Yeah. He knows that you are the one that can keep him safe. You are the one that provides the information of what to do, whether this thing is a threat even. And he knows that by your side, he can turn his brain off, right? Yeah. So that's, really, I mean, and I'm assuming you knew that I was going to say probably that, I want the leash walk when there's not dogs around. I think a lot of people have this like, I don't even know what to call it. It's almost like this goal for their leash walk to be where the dog isn't pulling, right? Which is a great goal to have.
Yeah.
I want the goal to be where the dog walks with me, right? Okay. We're walking together. We're doing things together. But it sounds like, based on what you said, like he's sniffing, he's sort of leading, he's, you know, he's checking in with you, but only to get a treat, really, right? Yeah. I would say probably the majority of your walk, he's probably not all that connected to you, right? Yeah. And he's leading. So it makes logical sense, I guess, in his brain for him to go, okay, I'm leading. I am not going to pop off at, you know, these 10 dogs because it's not worth it. And the treat means more to me than these 10 dogs, but these, you know, two, three dogs, no, I'll, you know, screw the treat. I got a job to do. Right.
Yeah.
I want to make him really truly understand that that's not his job, and he also isn't good at it and probably doesn't enjoy it. Yeah. Does that make sense?
No.
Like, I want it to be like more organic. Yeah. So, okay. What do you use to walk him? Is it like regular flat collar?
Regular flat collar and a harness.
Have you ever tried anything else?
No, not really.
Okay. We'll get into that in a little bit.
Okay.
Has he ever gotten into it with another dog? Does he have like a bite history or anything?
Yeah. So he's snapped a few times in close enclosures. There's a like enclosed dog park in our building that I would bring him to a lot more. So he snapped at a few dogs there. So it wasn't a bite, but it was definitely an escalation. And kind of seemingly to me out of nowhere. I'm sure there were signs beforehand, but very quick. But as far as I know, he hasn't bit. There was one dog that through the scuffle, the other dog was bleeding on his paw, but I don't believe it was him that
bit it. Is it like when you used to bring him into those environments, would it be like you walked him in and all of a sudden there was a fight, or did it take a little bit?
No, it was pretty quick.
Okay. Yeah. which I mean, I can't, I'm at most dog parks, because most, maybe the apartment dog park isn't like this, but can you imagine walking into a room and people you don't know all start like flooding you?
Exactly.
Yeah. I'm going to throw hands too. Right. Like get away from, yeah, it's I get it. Yeah. It's a lot. But that doesn't mean that doesn't equal now we can yell it and, you know, threaten every single, not every single dog, but any dog that we see on a walk. Does he have like, is there, for the dogs that you know for sure, without a doubt, he's going to react to, is there a threshold of like they could be from a certain distance and he won't react?
So the more we pass them or come and even across the street from them, I feel like the more he keeps track of their scent. Because at first these dogs, he may have like looked over, kind of been tense. And it was like, okay. And then it kind of got like then a bark and then louder to the point where he, I'm fairly certain, knows their scent. So sometimes we'll get in the elevator, it'll be empty and he'll bark and then he'll look around like looking for something. And one of the dogs, or actually two of the dogs we've seen across the street, and before I can even see them, he starts sniffing and like looking over for them. So it's pretty low threshold.
Like yeah, I mean,
them and recognizes them.
And what I'm hearing right now is that he spends a lot of time, and we haven't even gone over anything inside, which I'll ask about in a second, but he spends a lot of time, like from the second that you leave your apartment, in a really adrenalized state of mind.
Yeah.
You know, whether it's with the food, getting the food, you know, there's no, it doesn't sound like there's like this nice, calm, neutral follow ever in on the walk. Is there? There is,
I think. Like after we start the walk, I think right at the beginning, yeah, there's a lot of sniffing, a lot of looking around, a lot of looking for treats and stuff like that. And then when we get a little further out, like our street is very busy. And so I'll usually walk him on like some of the like more neighborhood streets. And I think there it's a little more like walking by my side and a little calmer.
Okay. Okay. Yeah. Okay. Talk to me about inside. What sort of rules and boundaries do we have?
So inside he has like two kind of places, his bed and my room that he sleeps in. And he also has a bed in the living room. We have toys away. He's not a huge toy dog. But when it seems like he wants to do activities, I'll bring them out. He's allowed on the couch. And other than that, he, when he was a puppy, I had him in like a playpen. Mostly either like during the day or when I was gone. But now if I leave him, he's allowed in like the living room kitchen area.
Okay.
I just close all the doors. And he pretty much just stays in his bed when I'm gone.
Okay. Yeah. Do you, does he have a crate? Did you say crate at the beginning?
No. We did like playpen training, when he was little. So I never ended up using a crate.
He's never been in a crate, even when he was a puppy?
No.
Okay. I'm impressed that you were able to potty train him. It's hard to potty train without a crate. It really is.
Yeah. Yeah. The pen worked out because it was small enough. I'm in an apartment. It wasn't like a huge pen.
Right. Right.
So it kind of served the same purpose.
Yeah.
But yeah.
Yeah. Okay. This is, I think the best part about the podcast is that I know I'm not about to break any news to you that you have not heard already.
Yeah, exactly.
It used to be that I would like go into in-home sessions and be like, I have to like really truly, like I have to like, you know, kind of rock their whole world. But I definitely think, I'll put it to you this way. You're in a situation where you have done the, I mean, probably you're 75% of the way there, it sounds like, right? The problem is that that last 25% represents the true motivation behind the reaction, right?
Yeah.
So it represents the fact that we have not shifted or changed why it's happening to begin with. Yeah. Does that make sense?
No, that's
so true. There's a lot that you can do to change behavior on the surface, but if we don't go underneath, there's always going to be a little bit left over. And that we might even get them to a point where if you kind of kept working at this, or you maybe added on a different thing or whatever, without changing the why, you might even get him to a point where he reacts to zero dogs on the walk, but then we'll see other issues pop up because we haven't truly changed the why. Right. And most of the time, like I said, with the podcast, especially, people don't reach out until they're ready to change the why, you know?
Yeah.
And they just don't know how. They don't know where to start. Okay. Yeah. So I would say, well, first let me explain. I feel like you do know this, but I'll explain it just for, you know, to kind of help the perspective a little bit. Mm-hmm. Let's talk about the why. It sounds like in the house, he makes a lot of his own decisions. Okay. They're not bad decisions by any means, but he makes a lot of his own decisions. Okay. Yeah. When he leaves the house to go on a walk with you, you become somebody he is then responsible for leading. Okay. And it sounds like maybe we're dealing with a dog. I mean, I don't know if he's a more back of the pack dog. I don't know if he's more insecure.
Yeah.
I don't know if he's really middle or front. It doesn't, you know, but it does sound like, he feels like based on the time that you spend inside the house and the freedom that he has on the walk, in his mind, he goes, okay, I'm in charge then, right? I do what I want to do, so I am in charge of this situation. Yeah. And then that puts that responsibility on him to back off other dogs that he believes are threats to you guys, right? Which he's obviously, because he is a dog and that dog, the other dog is on a leash, he's bad at this job, right? Yeah. He's not identifying threats correctly. That other dog is not a threat. But in order to make sure, like we can't teach a dog how to identify threats correctly, right? Mm-hmm. Without also teaching them how to defer to us. Right. Yeah. At the end of the day, there's going to be something that comes across that dog's life or, you know, in their life that they don't understand. They've never seen before. Right. Vacuums aren't natural to them. You know, people coming up to their door. It's just, it's a whole world that doesn't make sense to them from the jump. Right. Yeah. So, I really want to make sure that we, I don't know what just happened. Hold on 1 second.
Yeah.
There we go. I really want to make sure that we are setting ourselves up for him to defer to you. And that starts in the house, right? How do we feel about potentially crate training him?
I have a crate.
You're ready for it. Okay. Okay. Have you tried it yet?
I didn't really try it when he was a puppy. I've tried it since like once or twice and not like fully closed for hours, but he does go in. He gets, you know, like I know when he gets groomed, he gets crated after he's done before I can pick him up. They've never said anything. I assume like he's been around.
He does okay there.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay. Great. Okay. So where does he sleep?
He sleeps in his bed here.
Oh. Great. Okay. So it's not like he's sleeping in your bed. Okay.
No. He enjoys that because he gets pretty hot.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Space.
Yeah. He's a longer haired dog.
Yeah.
But I bet in DC that comes in handy sometimes.
Exactly.
Okay. So what about, what about his meals? Does he eat his food right up?
No, he doesn't.
It's okay.
Yeah. So he'll eat once a day, usually. I'll put it out in the afternoon, and he'll eat it by the evening. If we're doing more active things, he will eat it up right away. So I'll be able to put it out and he eats it then.
Okay.
And then maybe we'll do a second time.
Okay. Okay. How do we feel about structuring that a little bit more?
I would love to. I just have a hard time getting him to eat it.
Okay. It's like a vicious cycle, right? Yeah. Of like, I want you to eat this when I put it down, but you're not eating this and I need you to eat. So then it becomes something that just, I mean, most of the time free feeding doesn't happen like because the person is intending for it to happen. It's happening because the dog holds out long enough or longer than the person's comfortable with, right?
Exactly.
Yeah. Big things for the reason I really care about moving my dogs from free feeding to structured feeding is obviously one, behaviorally, I want it to make sure that he doesn't see this food as a resource that he can have whenever he wants it, because when a dog can have a resource whenever they want, they own it, right? Mm-hmm. So I want to look at that as an opportunity to control resources, to kind of shift the relationship a little bit.
Yeah.
But bigger than that, more importantly than that, I want to make sure that I am teaching my dog to eat the food when it is down.
Yeah.
Because if they ever don't feel good and they turn their nose up at this food, I want that to be so rare that they would turn their nose up at the food that I can go, oh, there's something wrong, and get them to the vet.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. That has happened to me personally. And the only reason one of my dogs survived is because she refused to eat that night, and she had never done that ever. Other than that, was acting totally normal. Yeah. When I got out of that, she had 105 degree temperature. It was insane. So that's something I care about from a physical health perspective, right? Just it's the only, they don't have words to communicate with us when they don't feel good. So the food is what matters. So obviously going from free feeding to structured feeding is going to be a little bit, it's going to require a little bit of tough love, right?
Sure.
And it's going to, he's going to be hungry for a couple days.
Yeah.
I do like the idea of only feeding him one time a day, because I think that's going to help you with like transition from free. I have a point to all this too about the crate training and then leading back to the walk. I promise it all goes together. Sometimes people look at me like, I'm calling you for leash reactivity and you're talking about my dog's food. Okay. So, feeding once a day is going to help, because then that's just going to make it very clear of you've got 15 minutes to eat. If you don't eat, we're taking it up. Okay. The other problem is probably, I mean, how many treats is he getting on a walk?
A lot.
Yeah.
Yeah.
A lot. I hate this for you, because I want to tell you that, I want to make it clear that you have every right to be proud of the success that you've made.
Yeah.
And I want to, but I also want to take away food on the walk.
Yeah.
And I have a feeling though, that if we take the treats away on the walk, we're going to see the reactivity come back, because it was never really gone. It was all just under the surface. Right. And to really, truly work with it, we've got to kind of come at it head on rather than band-aid it. But I don't want you to be like, well, I called this lady and she actually made all of my progress go away. Do you see what I mean? Like, it's progress, but it's not long-term.
Sure.
Right. I mean, what happens if you want to walk him one day and you drop all your treats or whatever, right? Like it's unrealistic to require an entire bag of treats when you were on a walk with, like, to just take a simple walk with your dog.
Exactly. Right? And it's expensive.
It's expensive. And it's also just not like, like I said, I truly look at the walk of, I mean, if I had to pay my friend $10 every time she, like, to walk with me on the walk, we're not in a very good friendship.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, that's not a good relationship. So I want to take the treats away so we can really see, have we made progress, on top of, I want to structure the food. So you said he's about 40 pounds.
Yeah.
Okay. How, like, on average, how much do you say, or would you say that he eats per day? Like a cup?
Cup and a half? Yeah.
Okay. So let's do this. Let's do 30 minutes in the crate with a cup of food once a day. Okay. That's how we can start with the crate training. So then sure. one, he can't walk away from the food and get distracted, yeah. right? So he's in there to do something. It helps. And two, changes the association eventually for the crate of, oh, I eat here, right? This is not a negative. This is somewhere where I eat. This is where I sleep. This is where I go to just chill out. Okay.
Yeah.
If he doesn't eat, which he likely will not, he'll be fine. He's not going to starve himself. I promise you. He might go 2 or 3 days without eating, but he will not starve himself. I promise you.
He has, even with the free eating. So I'm actually not as nervous.
Okay. So then he might even go longer, right? I mean, he might. If we get to like day 5 and you're like, okay, he has not eaten a thing, text me and then we can maybe try something different. But I've had dogs go 5 days before that did not eat anything. But then finally that day 5, they're like, okay, fine. I get it. I got to eat it when it's down. Mm-hmm. And I got to eat it in the crate. Mm-hmm. And then all of a sudden things kind of switched from there where they were excited then to go in the crate the next day. Right. It was, and they were, you know, they ate their food right down. It's just, it's a matter of making sure that it's like a standoff almost, right? Yeah, of definitely. I know you are going to eat. Okay, so I want to start there. I also feel like you're in an apartment.
Yeah.
Would you it's hard to say because he's never really been in one. Do you think that if you try to put him in the crate overnight, is he going to bark a lot?
I don't think so.
I mean, obviously, regardless, at some point in this crate training process, he might give us his opinion through barking, right? Sure. I try to be really wary of that and work around that as much as I can when the dog lives in an apartment complex, because we don't want you getting complaints.
I know he's complaining.
But I think if we start with mealtime in the crate and then overnight in the crate, I think that's a good place to start. And then leaving the crate door open all the other times for him to have free access to it whenever he wants. And then we can kind of level up from there and go into like maybe a middle of the day nap time, maybe crate when somebody's over, whatever, right? Just to really make sure that this is a well-rounded thing for him. But I think for right now, let's just start with, because we're going to be structuring the food, teaching him the crate, and overnight, I think that that's going to be just enough. I don't want to overwhelm him. So, okay, we feel okay about overnight? Okay. Feel okay about structuring the food? Okay. And then when overnight and just because I get this question, you're not asking me, but I get this question a lot. For overnight and when he's eating, he goes in there with the door closed. So a lot of people go, well, how do I keep him in there? And I'm like, well, you close the door. But you know what? I get it. I mean, it's people go, well, how do I make him stay in there? Because I think that they think we can just explain to them that maybe the dog, I don't know. Okay. We'll start there. How do we feel about getting him off of furniture?
It's just the couch. Is there options for him to come on with permission?
You're like, what do you have to offer me? If I push back, it's a negotiation, right? Okay. Here's my thing. The best training plan that I can offer anybody is the one that the person's actually going to follow through with, right? So if I've gotten a lot of pushback from clients, and I have, about getting their dog off the furniture, first, I tell people it's not forever. By any means, it is not forever. It's it's while you're kind of in this relationship boot camp, right? Of really clarifying who you are and making sure that we have a dog who defers to you for decision making. If that doesn't help, then I move towards, okay, we can have the dog on the couch, but only when it's your idea. Okay. And I would say maybe one time, like just like we're having him in the crate for 30 minutes, you know, for mealtime, I would like, if you invite him on the couch, set a timer, you know, I would say maybe 30 minutes, an hour, and then he has to get off, whatever, you know what I mean? Just put limits to it. Now, when I say it has to be your idea, I don't mean you have to be okay with it. I mean, he has to not be thinking about the couch at all. And sure. then you invite okay. him up. So ideally, like, asleep on place, and then you can go, yep, come on up, invite him up, call him to you, and then set your timer, and then ask him to get off. Because in that way, that's you controlling the resource of your space.
Got it.
Does that make sense? And then that's yeah. going to shift. Is it all coming together?
Yeah, yeah.
Definitely. Okay. What questions do you have so far? Any?
Yeah, I'd say... I probably know the answer to this.
Hit me.
So he doesn't have like a place command.
Okay.
It's just like fit into our routine. Like when we come back from our walk, he usually goes there. Or like, again, when we go to sleep. So yeah. is that something we should should I try and practice getting
a command? Absolutely. Okay. And you're yeah. already a leg up with it, right? Because yes. he already likes to lay there. So you've already sort of done this like... practice this sort of, this is our, one of our default resting spaces, yeah. right? Which is super helpful because it's not going to be a foreign thing for him. Yeah. Yeah. So all I would do at this point is practice putting a word to it. I promise I'm going to get back to place, but I want to make sure while I'm thinking about it.
Yeah.
Let's make it where the only time he gets a treat is every time he goes in his crate. When you tell okay. him to go. Okay. So I don't want treats for going on place because I want place to equal mm-hmm. calm. Mm-hmm. Right. I don't want that to become like an obedience command. I want okay. that to truly be like a, okay, like a mindset almost sure. for him. Right. So going back to place, I would put a leash on him because he's just, that's the only way to really enforce and teach him what that word means. He's going to okay. look at you like, what is place? Yeah. So you're going to say the word place. As you're saying the word place, you're going to be guiding him onto place. And at okay. first, because it's foreign, make sure that, I mean, literally as he is going on to place, you are saying the word place. Don't say it from across the room and then put him yeah. on it there because he doesn't know what that means yet. You want to yeah. like really layer those things on top of each other so he can start yeah. going, okay, that's what place is. Yeah. So at first you're just going to be teaching him how to go on place and when to come off of place. And like, you know, what it looks like for you to release him
sure.
after this session. After we get off here, I'm going to email you a link to like our session summary page.
Yeah.
And it's going to have videos on introductions to place. I mean, it's going to have everything on there. Yeah. Read through it at your own pace. Don't overwhelm yourself with it.
Yeah.
It's going to have a lot of stuff that may not even apply to you. So, that'll be a good kind of how to, but yes, I would start proofing place from like a boundary standpoint of okay. when I say to go to place, you have to go to place and you have to stay there until I release you. Mm-hmm. Regardless of what I'm doing in the house.
Okay.
And start small with that.
Yeah.
Start super small. Eventually when he gets really solid with place, you can maybe take, you can get one of those raised beds and take it out to a park or whatever. Right.
Yeah.
Or even just outside your apartment complex, if that's really where we're struggling, plop it there and do like an hour of place work. Maybe not until it gets warmer. Cause that would be yeah. awful for you. but do an hour of place work because then that way he is learning. It's just reinforcing that when you go outside, you don't need to be aware of everything going on around you. You just yeah. need to look to me and I'll tell you what the expectation is of you in this moment.
Okay.
You with me?
Yeah.
Okay. So yeah, as of right now, I would say start coupling what he's already doing with the word place, and then that can mm-hmm. be sort of like when we tell him to get off the couch, because inevitably he will probably get on the couch. That can be, we can tell him off, but we can also tell him, hey, go to place. This okay. is what we want you to do instead. So we're not just setting him up to correct him over and over and over again.
Right. Right.
Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Okay. Now we got to get to this leash walk here. it's hard because I really want, I want to get you conditioned or get him, not you, him conditioned to the slip lead. So then okay. that way there's like some sort of understanding, and language that you can kind of have to communicate with him on yeah. the walk. And that's pressure and release. Got that it. Might be something. Are you in the first floor, second floor? Are you high up?
Yeah.
No wonder you need the elevator.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
I also want to get him conditioned to the loop. Okay. In the session summary email that I'm sending you, it's going to have a link to a company called Organ Tales, and they teach what's called the gentle method. It is precision leash walking. So it is not like your typical loose leash walking. It doesn't even look like, you know, your real structured leash walking. It's almost, it really is a method, right? So it's an exercise that you do with your dog to teach them the leash, to have them make peace with the leash, which for a lot of leash reactivity dogs, that is important because they see the leash as the thing that's holding them back from being able to do what they need to do, right? Yeah. Which is, you know, protect. They also have videos on how to condition your dog to the loop, right? Okay. Which do you follow us on Instagram? Have you seen any of those? Okay. So you know what I'm talking about, like how it goes over their nose.
Yeah.
Okay. I think that that's going to get you a more connected leash walk in general.
Right.
I think the gentle method is going to be our best bet. The problem is going to be like all your potty breaks, you know, like you're not going to be able to. So every time you take them out to go to the bathroom, are you doing a leash walk every single time?
Pretty much, yeah.
Oh, really? Okay.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
How long are those?
The morning one will be 30 minutes. Afternoon will be about an hour. And then the night one, like 10, 15 minutes.
Oh, okay. 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 Then I'm going to talk just a little tiny bit about the gentle method and sort of what it is and how it can sort of play into your practically your leash walk.
Yeah.
The gentle method, like I said, it's precision leash walk. So you're giving him, when you watch all those videos, which it'll be a link to their membership page that I'm going to send you. I have met them, worked with them, but I'm not affiliated with them. So you'd have to like, it's a whole thing for them. You have to do a whole login thing. The whole point of it is that you are giving your dog a very small, no pressure zone right by your side. Okay.
Okay.
And you're doing that by, wow, look at that leash. let's say this is my dog. Okay. And this is me. You're doing that by maybe giving your dog like this much leash. Okay.
Sure.
Obviously it depends on how tall you are and how tall the dog is, but you're giving them about like 1 to 2 inches of no pressure zone. Okay. So meaning if I hold the leash here, the dog can maybe I'll do it this way. Yeah, that's way better. If I'm holding it here, okay, the dog has got like 2 inches before it feels pressure if it moves up, right? 2 inches this way before it feels pressure, 2 inches back, 2 inches in. But if it walks right here, then we've got no pressure zone. Okay. So it's really like, I mean, truly precision leash walking. And it's a struggle at first, and it's supposed to be. I promise you, it's supposed to be. It's going, you're going to be like, well, I'm not doing this right. You are. It's just something that you've never asked your dog to do, right? That they'll have videos on how to condition to the loop, how to put on the loop, and how to start this. But it really is, so it's a method derived from horses. They originally did this with horses. And it's you walking in a circle with your dog, either on the inside or the outside. They've got different steps, and teaching them, how to sort of stay right by your side. After a little while, at the very beginning, like I said, I mean, the dog feels really heavy. It feels like you are like carrying them truly. And after a little while, as long as you're, you know, you kind of are doing what they call your bumps correctly, which is like your on off pressure to sort of say, hey, move with me when they sort of slow down or speed up too fast. If you are communicating correctly by the end of this method, say you do 30 minutes of this in the morning, ideally, probably by the end of it, your dog feels like you're carrying like an empty briefcase almost, like they're bouncing with you. So, and they'll get lighter over time. So it is something that over video consults, I will completely refer all of my video consults to look at their membership page for the leash walk. Because if you can do the gentle method, we're going to have no issues with our structured leash walk. Okay, and it's, they do a really good job of explaining it with all of their videos. So I would say we kind of take our leash walks and replace them with the method.
Okay.
Does that make sense? So there's going to be a lot of walking in circles and your neighbors are probably going to think you're crazy. but it's also great because then you sort of kind of stake your claim on where you are. Let's say you go right out in front. I don't know how your apartment complex works. And you're in the parking lot and you're going in a circle and you're going in a circle and you are bumping him, you know, to stay with you because he got distracted with a leaf or whatever. And then all of a sudden that dog, his arch nemesis, right, comes by. Then what you would do is you would apply what they call the feel, which is like sustained pressure on, not a lot, right?
Yeah.
So it's going to look like, if he's kind of freaking out, reacting, you're basically going to just go and kind of hold a little bit of pressure, just a tiny bit, okay, and continue moving, right, while he's reacting. So you're not going to do anything different. I know you didn't you say that you're kind of pulling over every time?
Yeah, if it gets bad, but I'm doing, when it's like in between, like the best and the worst, I'm doing something similar where I do like hold towards the end of his leash, or sorry, I guess towards the beginning of his leash, close to his body, and put a little pressure without like wrangling him, like and just kind of could try and keep moving him forward while I have like a tight hold on the leash. So it does sound similar, and when it do that, he will stay near me, unless he's already reacted and he's already like in the air. Then at that point, I'm just pulling.
You're just trying to survive.
Yeah.
So, okay. The only difference, a lot of times dogs that have leash reactivity, tend to see pressure on the leash as a cue to start scanning even more. Because you see the dog, you get nervous, you tense up, and he's like, where is it, where is it, where is it?
Definitely what I feel like is happening.
So the method reteaches pressure, what it means to feel pressure, right? So right now, to him, pressure means look for the threats, right? Pressure means frustration, fight against it, right? Go away. I want pressure to mean come further into you, right? Like, kind of sync up more with you, not fight against it. I want pressure to mean what we want, not what we don't want.
Sure.
But right now it's the thing holding him back from the thing that he feels like he needs to do. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
I promise you, it's like, I need to get way better at explaining the gentle method, but it's not my method. So at the end of the day, I don't want to explain it. I want them to explain it to you.
Yeah.
But I need to find a better way of, it's definitely more than just walking in a circle, but if you took a video of it, it would look like I'm just walking in a circle. But the circle matters because you're keeping your dog off balance while walking in a circle. That's why we do that in a round pen with horses. It's the balance and constantly kind of keeping them on that curve helps them need to, look to you for support a little bit more as well. So I think that that's your best bet. Okay. Questions about that?
No.
Okay. The elevator is the hardest thing in the world. Okay. Here's what I want to do. I want to, like I said, I'm going to kind of summarize everything that we've talked about so far. So we are going to have him in the crate overnight. Have him make sure, with both times of the crate, you're not letting him out when he's barking, or pick times, right? Set timers, because you can't live your life around whether or not a dog is good at bark or not. So overnight for meal times, once a day, once a day for 30 minutes. Let's say you're on day 5 and he hasn't eaten, up it to an hour. Right. But still don't just leave it out for him and don't supplement with treats. or human food or whatever. Don't try to like make it more palatable for him by putting water in it or what. I mean, you can put water in it, but don't try to put like wet food or whatever in it. Because then you're going to have a dog who's like, okay, if I hold out for 5 days, I get something really good. Yeah, exactly. Then you have a dog who constantly holds out for that long. So that's going to be our baseline in the house, is crate, structuring our food. We're going to teach some place work, some basic place work with him. And we're going to make sure that the furniture, when it happens, is when it's our idea. It is not something he was even thinking about, the couch coming on, and you invite him up and then, ask him to get off whenever the timer goes off.
Sure.
For the walk. So all of that is going to be helping us really shift the why.
Yeah.
Right. So give him a reason to not react, because throughout this process on your day to day, you are teaching him, I am actually the one in the leadership position. I am the one that has more information. I need you to defer to me. But if we let him do whatever he wants in the house, he's going to look at us outside like, who the hell do you think you are? Right.
Yeah.
So I call this like the building believability stage. Sure, you know what I mean? Like we've got to do it in the house so that we're believable as somebody who can take charge when we're out of the house. Out of the house, we're going to be working really, really slowly on learning the gentle method. Okay. That's going to replace all of our leash walks. I would try to get him to go potty before you even start moving. Does he normally take a little bit to go to the bathroom, or is it?
He goes pretty quickly. Yeah.
Okay.
To pee, to poop, he takes a little longer, but never that long into the walk.
Okay. I mean, you can even do like where he goes and pees and then you start the method, and then maybe 15 minutes later, you give him a little break to, you know, to go to the, to go poop. Okay. But I definitely don't want him getting antsy and you being like, oh, does he have to go to the bathroom? And then you stop. But he's like, no, I didn't have to go to the bathroom. I just wanted to stop.
Yeah.
So the gentle method is going to replace our leash walks for right now. It's going to be messy at first. I promise you, you are going to be like, this lady is crazy. This method does not work. I promise you it's worth it. I promise you. Like 2 weeks from now, you're going to be like, okay, yeah, I get it. We're clicking. It's just going to take some time because he's not used to having to be connected to you, like emotionally or, energy wise on the walk. He's used to really doing his own thing.
Yeah.
So I think that that's a good place to start. I don't want to go too crazy with it because the gentle method's going to be a lot. He's never been in a crate before. The structuring, it's just going to be a lot. So I don't want to go, I mean, obviously we'll talk a lot more about, kind of the practical uses of the gentle method and how we can kind of turn that into our normal walk. But right now, let's just do the gentle method, like textbook wise, how they teach it. And then in the house, we can slowly kind of up the structure and up our distraction level with place. And there's a bunch of ways that we can kind of move forward from here.
Okay.
But I think this is a really good baseline. Do you feel okay about all this, or is this too much?
Yeah. No, I mean, I think it makes sense for sure.
Okay.
All things that I've like thought of, but like not in like conjunction with it. Like, oh, I've always been like, oh, I do want to crate train him, or I do want to get on a regular food schedule.
And it's hard to be like, okay, I want that, but how?
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
So
this makes a lot of sense, it tying together.
Good. Okay. Yeah. Cause our dogs are very good at convincing us that, if we do it on our own, that we're doing it wrong. I am here to tell you that you are not doing it wrong. He's going to have some opinions about this.
Yeah.
But this is a great place to start, and then we'll kind of build on this. But I mean, my recommendation would be do this for, what do we say, overnight mealtime, 3 weeks straight. And then let's maybe do another consult where we see where we're at and where we can build on this.
Yeah.
Because I would say a month, but I think 3 weeks is going to be enough for things to start clicking for him.
Sure.
And I don't want him to go too long without us adding on more, because this is just the beginning that we can do. But I feel like this is a good combination.
Yeah.
Any questions about any of this? Really took over this session,
didn't
I?
It's all super helpful. Yeah, for the crate, like you can have water in there. Like,
yeah, okay, absolutely, if you want him to. I have, for one of my dogs, I've got like a little bucket in his crate that clips to the side of his crate. My other dog, no, because he either drinks it all or spills it all. So okay. He gets water when in the morning.
Yeah, because he, in the middle of the night, will go into the kitchen to get water. That's all I say.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
They make like little attachments. And then do you, I don't think we talked about this. Do you know where you're going to put the crate?
When I originally had it set up, but to use it, it was going to be here in my room where, yep. He's
okay. Okay.
But yeah, I don't know if that makes.
Yeah. I mean, that's not a bad place to start. I think eventually, I'd love to see if he does okay in the crate in the living room, but let's just, yeah, I'm okay with him.
Yeah, he probably would.
Okay.
Because he does sleep overnight in there sometimes too. After he gets his drink of water, he'll go and sleep in that bed in the living room.
Would it make you feel better or worse to have him? I mean, do you have a preference?
I don't have a preference. So I didn't know if like having it in the room made more sense, like where I sleep.
It's really up. It's up to, I don't have my dogs in my room because if they started even whimpering in the middle of the night, I could potentially convince myself that, okay, now they need to go outside. Right. But like my dogs are in the living room in the crates and they do fine. You know what I mean? Yeah, like they don't, yeah. I don't know if, but I also, because he's never been in the crate, I don't want to put him in the living room and have him bark all night long and then have that's your apartment complex get upset with you.
Or I do have a roommate.
Oh, or that, maybe right?
Maybe upset, yeah.
Okay, so then let's keep him in your room. Let's keep him in your room and then just make sure I would set like times. So because I stay up late every night and I forget that my dogs shouldn't. So I have like an announcement thing on, the speaker that tells me, hey, it's 10:30, put your dogs up, lady. Okay. So they're not up till like 1 AM with me. Yeah. So my dogs are in the crate from 10:30 to 7:30. So they're never like, if they, let's say one of them starts crying at 1 AM, which rarely, I mean, it never happens unless they have an upset stomach or they have to pee or whatever, then absolutely. Let's go outside and go to the bathroom. But you're going right back in your crate. You're not like getting and cuddling in bed or on the couch or whatever. So from 10:30 to 7:30, you're in your crate.
Okay.
So you can decide the times that work for you. That's just the times that work for me and my husband. Okay. But that kind of helps alleviate the, oh, do I need to let you out?
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But yeah, if you have a roommate, I would definitely do your bedroom.
Yeah.
Just in case. Okay. No other questions?
I don't think so.
You feel okay about all this?
Yeah. I guess the only other thing, just not like, I think with the plan for the walk, it'll help. He does mark a lot.
That makes sense to me.
Clear from the rest of it. Yeah.
That makes sense to me. Yep.
I'll be curious to see how that changes with the.
Well, he won't be able to with the gentle method, right? Because you're not going to give him the room, like literally not going to give him the room to do it. And I would maybe start this on pavement, right? So if you have like a parking lot that you can like do a little circle in, so then that way you alleviate the want to mark, right? And then eventually when we start getting really good at this, let's try to do it on grass. Let's try to do it near some bushes, right? But yeah, that makes sense to me that he does mark, but he's, if we're doing the gentle method, he's not going to have much of the ability to do that, which is going to help shift our mindset when we're out of the house.
I'm totally fine with that.
Yeah, I bet.
Eliminating that.
Yeah, I think that's going to help a lot, but just remember, don't stress out if the gentle method, if you guys struggle with it, stick with it. Like it's a struggle at first. I promise you, cause it's going to be a lot. But it's worth it. It's one of my favorite things to do with dogs.
Make sure to follow us on Instagram at Think Like a Dog Podcast and follow at Mirror Image Canine for training tips. If you have any questions, please reach out to us via email at info@thinklikeadogpodcast.com. Make sure to follow us on Instagram at Think Like a Dog Podcast and follow at Mirror Image Canine for training tips. If you have any questions, please reach out to us via email at info@thinklikeadogpodcast.com.